And onto the Ukrainian refugee crisis in relation to accommodation. Christina Finn, mm-hmm. there is going to be an incorporeal cabinet meeting on Friday to discuss refugee accommodation. So what will that be looking
focusing
at?
On, yeah, so the sub-cabinet committee met on Monday and they largely hashed out a lot of the measures that are going to be sort of signed off by the full cabinet meeting on Friday, it's expected. So I suppose one of the main ones we're seeing is the doubling of that €400 payment that households get if they take in Ukrainian refugees. That will go to €800. There's also obviously been sign off there of 5 army barracks around the country to house Ukrainian refugees in what have been described as sort of dormitory style accommodation in underutilized buildings on those sites.
But so that's not tents now, that's going to be the actual buildings, like buildings the dorms that are already there.
That are not in use, yeah. And then there's also lands on those sites apparently that they are going to be able to put modular housing of some sort onto those army sites. Other focuses you're going to see is, it's something that the Taoiseach touched on over the weekend, is there are a lot of Ukrainian refugees in hotels at the moment. And sometimes pledged accommodation or other houses do come up that are offered to them. But because they've stayed in a hotel or a certain area, their children might be going to the local school or the creche. They've built up a community there. They're with other Ukrainian refugees. They're hesitant to move on because, you know, this is, has been their home for the last number of months. So the government are, said they're kind of finding in a delicate situation of how to move people on from those situations. I don't know, there seems to be a bit of a discussion about the hotel contracts that are running out at the end of the year.
This idea and that we would, currently it's for food and
so this I know there's some people within government are a bit uncomfortable with it, that it's, you know, sort of edging people out or somewhat trying to force people out by taking away some of perhaps, you know, the accommodations they have been given. But it's all about getting a free flow, I suppose, of accommodation. And then again, we're going to see a renewal of this pledged accommodation. So up until now, like, you'll probably get texts in. It happens all the time.
Yeah, every time we cover this.
About people saying, I've pledged and I never heard anything back. Yeah. A renewed effort from the housing department, I suppose. Most people within government and Leinster House, I think, agree that Roderick Gorman has had a lot on his plate to deal with, be it with the mother and baby redress, the Ukrainian refugee, and also his department would be sort of liaising with the Red Cross and local authorities to get people into that pledged accommodation. That seems to be moving over to the Department of Housing now, with the renewed pledged system. So perhaps that might get it actually moving a bit faster. That's the hope.
Gary Gannon.
When the invasion happened in February and there was a huge amount of people coming forward with pledges that Ukrainian refugees can stay there, I don't think anyone said, well, I'll do it for the €400 and also I might consider it if you increase it
to
€800.
Actually, at the beginning there was no talk at all about any payment.
So this idea that the payment has now been increased, I'm not sure that's a massive incentive for those opening up their homes to people fleeing from war and savagery of unimaginable scale. We haven't really seen a huge amount of innovation, and I don't want to see this be an issue where we make political hay out of. I understand the complexity and the challenge facing the minister. We all want the support.
Do you think they've done a reasonably good job at this point? Given the scale of the challenge that they're facing,
I think we've done the job that should be expected of us. Obviously, we can all say we could have done more, and perhaps we could have. But there's an expectation there for us that we were able to give sanctuary to those fleeing that war. It's complex, but I don't think in relation to people who made pledges, who didn't receive a call, I don't think that could be considered to be a good job. We need to get that correct now. There has been no innovation. Local authorities haven't exactly gone out of their way to open up hotels that were closed, for example, on different streets. I haven't seen buildings that were once kind of not used in their election.
We've seen a country that's now accommodating, you know, in excess of nearly 44,000, you know, people from the Ukraine that have come here. And,
another 15,000.
No, not at all. And I think there's been an amazing welcome. And I think there's been very much cross-party support on everything the government is trying to do and taking on board ideas and plans around this. But I think on the pledged accommodation, I mean, it's looking at moving towards the local authority, sort of through the Department of Housing to support, because it would have been the Red Cross initially, I suppose, that were looking at this. But that pledged accommodation, like, it would be great to see it increased. And I suppose the options are, in, like, you know, as you were saying there, potentially, I mean, I know this was potentially discussed, but, you know, we'll have to wait to see what comes out. But, you know, it could be also for people with empty, you know, vacant homes at the moment, or, mm-hmm. you know, so there's other options there. And I think local authorities have been working really hard to see any available units that can be, you know, taken, you know, can be used for families that, you know, will support families.
Units, but not so, necessarily buildings, and bringing buildings back to life, buildings that didn't were empty. There hasn't been a huge kind of, I don't know, a warlike effort to bring kind of capacity back into towns and villages, looking at dereliction,
I'll ask you this. I don't know if you were listening to Morning Ireland this morning, and there was a report from Aisling Maloney from Cavan and Mayo, where there have been attempts to build modular housing. And there was a councillor, an independent councillor, interviewed from in Clare Morris in relation to their proposed build there. And there was, you know, locals also interviewed. And there was definitely a sense of, you know, we all appreciate that Ukrainians are fleeing a war and we want to do the right thing by them. But, you know, this isn't the place for them. This isn't, we've taken in a lot. Do we need to, you know, there was a sense that the conversation has shifted a little bit in relation to attitudes towards refugees arriving here now. Are you hearing that on the ground?
I'm not actually. No, I'm not hearing that in North Kildare. I've been talking to a particular constituent who works in a church-based group, Kevin. He first contacted me back in February, and I've been dealing with him over and back. And what he's telling me is that he actually worked in Kharkiv, so he felt it kind of came home to him when all this started. And he was telling me about a family that had moved from Kyiv, actually, and they had been moved down to Mayo, and they were moving into this small little town with around 200 people living in it. And he thought that they might be kind of, you know, saying, what am I doing here in the middle of nowhere? But my family's from Mayo. I better apologise to my mother. But he was saying that, you know, they're delighted to be over there. Like, they're safe. And we have to remember that we're saving people's lives by offering them refuge. And that's
So that's you're honestly not hearing, because I've spoken to others who say that quietly, they say, yeah, I wouldn't be publicising it too much. But they are hearing. Because, of course, all of this is happening in the middle of a massive housing crisis here.
Yeah, well, this is happening in the middle of a housing crisis. Yes, it is.
What I think a lot of people are, like, as you said, I think Ireland is a very welcoming country, and there's no doubt about it. We have our own history of immigration. I think that stands to us, and exactly why we have reacted the way we have. But I definitely feel, perhaps, as you pointed out, Katie, that it's not necessarily what I've been hearing in terms of, no, that's enough now. It's more of a quiet sort of questioning or head scratching at the government's response to it in terms of the urgency that we've seen with all of this in comparison to the lack of urgency, some might say, over the parallel housing crisis. And I think there is a risk of those two clashing. So
I think there is a fear. I think there's a genuine and I want to put this, because I do think people have responded so well. I don't want to be putting out the notion, but I do think there's a genuine fear out there now of just the scale of it, and the sense that it's not stopping and it's coming. And even if the war ended tomorrow, we know that there's going to be a massive migration issues for years because of climate and many other many other issues.
Absolutely.
So this is something that is now with us.
It's with us. But I mean, you've got to look at, you know, 21,000 people that came forward with pledged accommodation to the Red Cross. You've got to look at nearly 12,000 children now and young people in primary school and secondary schools all across Ireland in every town and village. You've got to look at nearly 10,000 people from the Ukraine that have taken up roles working here in Ireland, working in our towns and villages, where they have the qualifications, where they're able to do so. So I just think that you're right. It is an absolute crisis. It is an emergency that's happening in the Ukraine, where we're taking in families that are fleeing, mothers and children, along with young men. And the challenge we have is that this is an immediate, urgent emergency crisis now, and we're looking at trying to manage that. And you'll see that they're looking at all options across all agencies.
Don't you have to manage sentiment as well? Is that not a huge part of what needs to be acknowledged and managed now?
Of course. And I think that's where there's, like, say now with the RAILT groups and through the education training boards, like, there's liaisons within every county, I suppose, working on, you know, how to manage. Where is there actual, you know, space within schools? Where is there space, you know, like being able to accommodate people close to where there are schools, close to where there's buses, simple yeah. things like having a bus, which can be really challenging in rural areas when you don't have a lot of public transport yeah. options. So I just think that at a local level, and the like the ETBs or GRTB in my case, the HSC at a local level have been over and above. So I do think there are people out there that are doing their utmost to make sure that people are homed or housed in areas where there is capacity. But the challenge is now that we're...
What about the idea that I understand the figures on like 10,000 of the refugees who are with us right now would be working, mm-hmm. Working full time. And the notion that that cohort of refugee would, you know, perhaps pay for their own food, as we were talking about in the thing, or, you know, contribute towards the host families that they're with, or indeed the bigger question, and it would be a big political question if it were to move that way, would be in terms of the services, like the medical card that people were granted when they arrived. Is it appropriate that they would hang on to those?
No, well, no, it's not appropriate that we question it at all.
That you question it,
yeah. That we question it all. These people, the people seeking refuge here are only here. The invasion happened in February. People came over extremely traumatised. They received huge welcome and good regard from everyone, and they've gone into our economy and contributed through their labour. And that, I think we need to be very careful in terms of, even in terms of the debate, like in terms of Ukrainian refugees are not competing on their housing list. They're not taking local authority homes away from anyone else on the list. They're not competing with first time buyers. And I think in my constituency in the north end of the city, for example, where we've had a huge influx of Ukrainian refugees, they've just mingled and got involved, and there is no sense, I haven't really hand on heart seen any sense of a turning in anybody's opinion or anything like that. There will be competition for services, but that's just basic human nature, interaction with our childcare places in school or anything else. We can manage that. We have to meet our international obligations and our basic obligations with person seeking sanctuary here. And I haven't seen any sense of a turn in that regard.
Or not even a turn, but in terms of the fear of what's coming, you know, the fear of just the scale of what's ahead of us.
And I think you'll see that with the government and their talk of the medical cards and some of the social welfare payments and things that, speaking to some people in government, there definitely is a concern, I suppose, about the number of refugees here. And it's not just Ukrainian refugees, it's people in direct provision that are also entitled to the same protection.
Yeah.
But there definitely seems that there could be a move there, because people I was speaking to saying that, you know, last year when those sort of provisions were put in place, there was only, 7,000 or 8,000 people seeking asylum here. That's a hell of a lot different than it is right now. If you have people that are working also with medical cards, or what does that mean on the services? But I think that's it's a really touchy debate, I think, within government and how they're actually going to sell that.
Yeah, indeed.
And how, as you pointed out, I think it is so important to the government to keep the foot on the pedal in terms of bringing people with them.
Yes.
Because it's so easily lost, I think, especially going into the winter,
reading
everything.
A text here, there's been a huge rise online of horrible comments about Ukrainian people and how they should go home. A lot of it is just racism wrapped up in concern for our own, in inverted commas.
Yeah, and in skills, there's been a huge rise of children making friends with new Ukrainian friends and all of that.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we give these online comments too much, not mentioned, but actually... In class, my niece and nephew now have Ukrainian friends on their football teams and the GAA teams. Like, there's been a huge level of kind of friendship extended. I haven't seen that erode. But I think we always talk
and
about conversation.
That will always trump.
Yeah, and that should trump.
This kind of thing.
But there are conversations need to be had about kind of, because I listened to a presentation yesterday regarding the situation in the Horn of Africa. We're going to see a huge level of kind of migration over the next decade. We need to prepare ourselves for that. And that's a mature...
We do have to be prepared for it. And we weren't prepared for it in this case because we had too many people on housing lists for too long. And that's a failure of government.
The Housing for All.
I'm told I have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll be talking about teachers after these.
The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.